The next gentleman that we're going to have on certainly qualifies as what we would call a new friend of the program here. We've been looking forward to booking this for a while. Our New York Bureau, Steve Servillo, has been setting this up. And this gentleman, with everything that he's done, really does kind of exemplify what we talk about on this show, that this is the show where nothing is off topic. Really, he has gone and accrued accomplishments in a lot of different areas of not just journalism, but even beyond. This is somebody who, in addition to previously being editor-in-chief of PC Magazine, having done a long stint with Tech TV, both with hosting and also behind the scenes. He's also somebody who has worked on building computer systems, actually. He is familiar with that process, land-based client server systems as well. Right now, he's got a very exciting gig going as the CEO of Revision 3, the very impressive internet TV network that is out there. Both Revision 3 and his personal blog can be found and have been able to be found for a while on our FDH Lounge Ultimate Links page. And notwithstanding the fact that the Ultimate Links page is now up to 2,020 links, they can be found quite easily on there. Everything is very well laid out, and you should be able to find those no problem. But we also have it linked off of our rundown for the show here tonight. So, long story short, we've been looking forward to doing this. And here he is himself, the CEO of Revision 3, Jim Louderback. Jim, welcome to the FDH Lounge. Sir, how are you tonight?
I'm very good. Thank you. It's good to be here, and I'm glad we're among the 2,000 links on your page. That's an impressive number of links.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, we've been building this for about 3 years now, and we just keep going in batches here. And, yeah, you've been on there since at least, I'd say, 1,700 or so. So when Servillo was telling me that we were going to get you booked here, you've been on there for a while, Jim, close to the ground floor.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. It's good to finally be here.
Oh, it's great to have you on and to get to find out about everything that's going on here with Revision 3. And it's interesting because, again, you're at this leadership position with this network that is now just growing and putting things on different platforms here. You guys are now starting to conquer the mobile realm as well as everything else. But you've got a very interesting background because you've done print media, as have I. So you obviously have some training in that. You've also worked on building computer systems and working on it on that end here. Talk about essentially how this path led up to where you're at now.
Well, it was pretty much just following opportunities that came up. I mean, I didn't really have a media background. I started being a geek, still I'm a geek, but started writing about what I was doing when I was building systems and programming, and actually just answered an ad, as it turns out, in the New York Times for a lab director at this magazine called PC Week, which is a sister to PC Magazine, and never thought they'd hire me, and they did. A little while later, the company was like, hey, we're going to start a 24-hour cable network about technology. And they said, you want to go run content for it? I'm like, sure, whatever. I've never done television before. Why not? Same thing with, you know, running internet sites. And then Revision 3 is we really looked at the internet, the internet changed print, as you well know. It's changed radio. It's changed music. Now it's changing television. And what we're doing is we're on the side that's making the changes. And it's really a blast.
Oh yeah, it really looks like it is. Your programming is fun. It's varied. You got a lot of really good stuff there. I'm just curious though. In terms of your background and where you started out, actually hands-on on the computer side, was this anything you could have envisioned back in the day? Not necessarily your own career path leading up to that, although I guess the question could extend to that as well. But essentially, where we're at now with the internet, with media, with programming like this, when you were getting your start working on computers that were several generations more primitive than this, was this anything that ever could have popped into your mind back at that time?
No, you know, I was much more focused at that time, you know, when I first started playing around with computers and programming, very business oriented, but very much around video games. So, you know, the time when I sort of realized that the computer was more than just for work, I guess it was the first I started playing with computers and playing as old versions of Star Trek on it. But But it was really when I started some of the early graphics adventures, like Leisure Suit Larry and The Land of the Lounge Lizards. And then it was like, wow, you can really do, in this case it was animation, but you can really build these complex worlds and do these amazing things there. And then it just was a matter of, wow. Audio on the internet, yeah, you can do that. Video, and so, but a lot of it, I was surprised as anyone else.
Yeah, Leisure Suit Larry, those are some good times there. Yeah, I mean there really were some interesting things. I mean, and in a sense of characters that were engaging. Now that was one that was just pretty much flat out funny as well as entertaining there. But that really was kind of one of the early flickers of this type of culture, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, early Madden as well. I mean, look at what Madden brought to the table, and so there were all sorts of things like that that showed off the ability to tell stories, to engage you with characters, and then to provide this kind of this experience where you control the story. And I think we still today, when you look at media, most media on the internet is still pretty linear. I mean, you read a blog or you listen to MLB online or watch it online. It's still a linear experience. So I think we're still in the early stages of what a lot of this is going to become online. And so that's the thing that's exciting to me. It's like, hey, we're in the early stages of this, not the end game.
Oh, sure. I mean, everything's continuing to evolve. And that's one of the great things about when you're building a brand on the internet, and that's something that I can just say from personal experience, that's what we're trying to do here, both with programming but also with some written content as well. Is that do you guys foresee moving into some incorporation of that down the realm, possibly having some of these shows participate a lot in terms of blogging and other forms of communication regarding their shows and their brands?
Yeah, we do a little of that now, but there's definitely a lot more we should do, because it's really about, what the thing that I think is interesting is, I talked about characters. A lot of it comes down to those authentic personalities. I mean, like yourself, who people gravitate around and want to just hang out with. People who are passionate about a topic, who are really, really into it and interested in it and can communicate about it. And if you do that well and you build an audience and fans and a community around you, they're going to want lots of different types of media. It's not just video or just audio or just text. All that stuff tends to weave together. And then I always think, all media is about a community, but with the web and the internet, it's really these communities on steroids. So giving people an opportunity not only just to passively consume one way, but to really become part of that entire experience and kind of direct it and shape it.
Well, that's kind of interesting. Your answer kind of makes me think about something that you'd had recently on your blog here, louderback.com. When you were talking about, and you've mentioned a few times here on your blog, one of the big hits of the TV season, Modern Family, and one of the things you wrote about there recently was your experience from hearing from Steve Levitin, the creator and the producer of it, and he seemed to be, as you were saying, pouring water on the whole cross media concept here, that essentially his job is to deliver ratings. It's a very straightforward type of thing. Hulu, any of these online things don't really add to that bottom line. It's very interesting, because as I was reading that, I'm kind of thinking to myself, it all depends on what corporation you work for, I suppose, because my favorite TV show is The Office, and The Office is pretty much the exact opposite of that, because the ratings for it, I mean, it's never been a traditional Thursday night powerhouse in the sense of Cheers or Cosby or anything like that, but it's king of just proliferation in all different types of ways, whether it be Hulu, whether it be iTunes, whether it be online merchandise, all the folks like myself that go out and buy the big DVD gift packs every year. So it's very interesting to see Modern Family, as you wrote about, taking the one slant on it, and another show, a hit show, at the same moment in time, really looking at something completely differently.
Well, I think the problem there is, you talked about a couple of different things, but the way traditional television is set up right now is, there's a whole bunch of reasons why, but in part it's because of the way that it's rated. I mean, look, when the vast majority of the money that a television show on traditional networks get comes from the advertising that goes in when it debuts, when that episode goes out on Thursday night or whatever, and the way that they are paid on that is the measurement of the audience when that thing goes. So the Thursday night, 8 p.m. audience, Nielsen, which is a huge fiction. I mean, you know, everyone knows that Nielsen is not real and accurate, but everybody, it's like everybody, it's the elephant in the room, but everybody just believes it anyway. So if Nielsen says you have 10 million people watching, and Procter & Gamble runs a soap ad, and they're paying, you know, $10 per thousand people, you get X number of dollars. And it doesn't matter, really, how many people watched it 3 days later, how many people watch on Hulu, how many people do all that. And the stuff that, like, if you buy it on iTunes or, you know, that's incidental compared to the money and the revenue that they get when they go out at 8 p.m. on Thursday. And that's why, and I believe it, he says, look, this is how I get it. It doesn't matter. I could have hundreds of thousands of viewers on the internet, on Hulu, millions of viewers on it. If I don't get them at 8 p.m. on Thursday, it doesn't matter. All that other stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. That's the bottom line that's handed to him. By the same token, is it a thing where you're at in the hierarchy has to determine what your standards are? In other words, ABC, by and large, is dealing from more of a position of strength right now. NBC, where they're at, don't they kind of have to take their hits where they can find them? In other words, it might not be exactly preferable. They might prefer a powerhouse in the traditional sense, but if NBC's at least a cash, got this office as the cash cow bringing in online monies and merchandising and everything like that, isn't it a matter of having to settle for that as a big hit because of where they're at?
Yeah, but you know what? All that money online still is not going to add up to more than a small fraction of what they get when it shows on the big network and people watch it, you know, 8 p.m. Thursday or 10 p.m. Friday or whatever. That's why the money in traditional television is still in that broadcast medium. And, you know, that's partly their problem. I mean, look, these shows are expensive to make. The talent's expensive. And you've got to drive a lot of revenue to pay for that. And one of the things that I think that we've seen on the internet across all the media is like that there have been a lot more options. It's a lot less expensive to produce, and the really big expensive media tend to get, there's less and less of them, and there are a lot more that are less expensive and you can find anywhere. You look at a perfect example in sports. I mean, look, I used to get my sports information from, depending on where I lived, you know, it was ESPN, the Boston Globe. I mean, okay, I'm a Patriots fan, so I would read the Globe to read the Patriots stuff. Well, you know what? And I'm a Mets fan, and I would read, you know, the Daily News for Mets information. Well, you know where I get my Mets info from now? MetsBlog.com. I get my Patriots information from ESPN, from a bunch of different Patriots blogs, as well as the Globe. I don't need those sources anymore. So less people are aggregating to those sources. More people are going to many other sources, which means there's less eyeballs and less money to go around.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the best things, really, with this whole revolution with new media, is that there's really been this kind of redefinition as far as quality goes and where you can go to gravitate for this. And, you know, a perfect example of that, I think, would be right there on your network. I learned from our producer, Steve Servillo, that I guess Dignation's going to have a new DVD coming out. That's just a tremendous, tremendous product that they've got right there. And, you know, I'm not... ashamed to say that it's something that I really look up to as far as everything they've been able to put together with that show. And it's got to be something really precious to be able to have as a centerpiece of your network.
Yeah, well, and Dig Nation is just an example of how, you know, people love Revision 3, but what they really love are the hosts that we have, because of these real guys and girls that people want to hang out with. So Dig Nation's Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht. These guys are real. They hang out. They drink beer. They talk about what's going on in the world every week. And we got hundreds of thousands of people to watch, and we released that DVD, and we got tons of people buying it. But that goes across, you know, it goes across what we do. We've got shows with, other tech shows with, one host, Veronica Belmont on TechZilla, who's just, she's a beautiful woman. She's a complete geek and gamer, And, you know, she's also paired up with this guy, Patrick Norton, who's a complete geek and has been for a long time. But they're real. They're experts. They know what they're talking about. And it doesn't matter what media you're in. We're moving more towards a world where you've got to be an expert and know what you're talking about. You can't just be, you know, some bubble-headed blonde with, you know, knows how to read a teleprompter but doesn't know anything about what you're talking about. Those days are coming to an end.
Well, you know, it's about time, really, because, you know, in any ideal world, talent would rise to the fore, and that's what you got to hope for. And again, Revision 3 has been a perfect platform for that. Yeah, and, you know, as you mentioned, all the things that are continuing to happen here, Tom Merritt, Kelly Lewis, Penn Jillette now coming in to do a show for you. I think his ones previously, was he with Reason TV previously? I think I'd caught some of his stuff, I thought, through Reason. But, I mean, he's somebody that does a tremendous job as well. So it's great
right,
new
yeah,
content.
Yeah, he was over at Crackle. But, you know, Penn's all over the place. I mean, he's got a great new show on new season of his show on Showtime, whose name I cannot say on traditional radio. But it starts with Bull.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a great, you know, he and Penn and Teller do an awesome magic act 4 or 5 days a week at the Rio in Vegas. But the guy has so much that he wants to talk about and so many opinions, and he's very real, and people just gravitate to that. So, and the same thing with Callie, the same thing with Tom. And I think, you know, that's the same thing you see everywhere. Like, the folks that are going to do really well in this new world of media are those who are passionate, are honest, are real, who know what they're talking about, and who can, you know, who can really build a community around themselves. And, you know, I don't care if it's, you know, you doing sports stuff in, you know, in Cleveland and on the web, or if it's Cali, or if it's Penn, or you know, Mike Reese, who I follow, who does Patriots stuff in New England. It doesn't matter. It's just that they're real and they know it, and you go to them because you want to be part of that.
You know, you mentioned the probably the most important word right there, that being real, and I want to focus in on that very, very strongly, because, again, I've had this conversation on air and off air with people any number of times, and that being, it's really easy to contrive. And I know that living in my radio market, which is probably the worst terrestrial radio market in the country, it's full of nothing but contrivance. And if I say this, it'll really stir things up. And it's tired. It's hackneyed. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't see through it. But the folks with brains really do. I got to think that one of your jobs there, you and the folks who are helping you run this thing as you're going through, that's probably got to be a very important part of the screening process. You're looking at these people, and, you know, they may be very entertaining, but if they don't have that authenticity, I got to believe that they probably don't have that kind of importance to you.
Exactly. They've got to be real. They've got to know the topic. They've got to be experts. And, you know, and everybody on our network is like that, which is great. They all love it, and they all love what they're talking about. And look, you know, you see the same things happening in other mediums. I mean, look at Monday Night Football, right? Look at some of the idiots that they put into the, and I will name no names, into the booth there. Now look at Gruden. I mean, John Gruden knows. I mean, that guy is legendary. I mean, you know, finally they found somebody to replace Madden who's got the same level of expertise and intelligence and understanding and authenticity about the game. And so it doesn't matter what media it is, we're moving more to that world and away from the idea that you can just, you know, be talented at being a happy-looking pretty girl or guy and get a following.
You know, that is really something there, because, you know, and you mentioned Monday Night Football, and I'll tell you what, Gruden does a great job, and we do an annual thing on this, more than an annual basis, actually. We do it about every 8 months or so, called the Pantheon, where we vote for the best of the best in many different walks of life. And I voted for the best sportscaster of all time, best color commentator. I voted for Ron Jaworski. I love Jaws. I love the way he breaks down film. I love watching him on the NFL matchup show there. So, you know, when you get guys like that, when you get Jaws in the booth there and Gruden, and yeah, I think Tirico does a good job of directing traffic. That's really the kind of energy you're talking about, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree about Jaws, too. I think, you know, unfortunately, they paired him with some people who weren't that good for a couple seasons. But now he's really, and even like, you know, I don't know if you watched any of the draft coverage as well.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and forth on the NFL draft. But, you know, I get back to Gruden. I mean, Gruden just totally stomped all over some of the other folks on ESPN's draft coverage. I think it was Steve Young, who was just obviously unprepared in relation to him. But, you know, in any other context, you'd be like, Steve Young, oh, my God, he knows everything. He's a hero. So it's also a matter of degree, right?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it always is when you're looking at that kind of stuff. And I completely agree with you on Gruden. You know, he brings the same kind of insane prep level that he did when he was a coach. I think he was famed for waking up, what was it, like 3:17 a.m. in the morning. You know, now that he's in the booth, he probably doesn't have to do that. But maybe it's 4:17. I don't know. But the guy's still got intensity to spare. And, you know, we could probably use him in Cleveland coaching the team here one of these days. But, you know, it's something that I'm very interested in, because we talked a little bit earlier on when we were talking about Modern Family with you in the office and traditional ways that networks deal with things here, to what we're talking about with you now with Revision 3, you know, this really revolutionary online product that you've got here, where you're just sort of bypassing the traditional channels to bring this into people's homes. How would you say that in terms of the shows that you've got there and the ways that you do business, how does the ways that you do business, your revenue streams, et cetera, how are they similar to traditional broadcast TV, and what are some of the key differences for you?
Well, you know, when you're a network that goes out to, say, cable operators and satellite systems, I mean, basically you sign these contracts, you run ads at certain times, they run ads at certain times, you end up with, you know, 22 minutes of ads and 48 minutes of, or 38 minutes of content, or sorry, 44 and 16 or whatever. You've got to give them certain, like 16 minutes after the hour. You have to give them local cable systems the ability to run their local ads. Well, all that stuff goes away on the internet. I mean, we basically run shows that can be as long as they need to be. It doesn't have to be a half hour, an hour, with breaks at 16 and 44 minutes after the hour. Our show's going to be as long as they want. And we don't have to necessarily just shove these 30-second spots into people's heads, too. So instead of doing that, we end up doing sponsorships. So our hosts, who our audience loves, will be talking about what they're doing, or you know, doing their show. In the middle of it, they'll stop and say, "Oh, hey, I want to talk about our sponsors." And like, for example, Dignation, we've got a big sponsorship with Ford, and you know, we love Ford, and we actually had them deliver to us a couple of Fiestas, the brand new Fiestas, 2011. There's like two in the country, and you know, we talked about them in the show that we released today. But we also did something really cool. Are you familiar with the movie Bullet? Steve McQueen, San Francisco.
Yes. I've never seen the whole thing. I've caught parts of it. I love it.
Well, we're in San Francisco. We recreated the car chase with the new Ford. And our hosts inside. And, you know, so we had some fun with it. We showed off all the capabilities of the car. You know, we interspersed it with all the footage from Bullet and made it look like that. And, you know, went down the same roads they went down, God, 30, 40 years later. And that's the sort of stuff that you can have fun with and do on the internet, and with this sort of no-rules world of video and television that you could never do on traditional television. It's just, you wouldn't know how to set it up or do it. So that's one. And then the second thing is just how people view. So we first started out, we were doing long-form, half-hour, hour, 27-minute shows, whatever, on the internet. When everybody was watching, you know, clips of cats riding donkeys on YouTube, and the common wisdom was, oh, they're only going to watch, you know, 30-second clips of video on the internet. Then Hulu came out and started doing longer-form stuff, too, and it was like, oh, people will watch longer-form. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's not long-form or short-form. It's the right length for what you're doing. And also, you know, I used to think that people would watch, you know, short-form on their notebook or on their phone, and longer-form on their TV. But what we're finding is, if you give people the option to watch what you're doing on any screen they have. So our stuff, you can watch on a big screen at home in HD. You can watch on your iPhone. You can watch on your iPad. You can watch on your notebook computer. You can watch on your desktop. You can watch on Roku and Boxing, and all these different things. We're finding that people will watch whatever they want, doesn't matter the length, on whatever the best screen they have. So if all they got is an iPhone, they'll watch on their iPhone. If they happen to have a PC, they'll watch it on a PC because it's a better screen. If it's on their big screen TV and they're at home, they'll watch it there. So it that ability to watch anywhere, anytime, on any device, any service, and the best screen available is really one of the big transitions that's happening. And we've really seen people watching everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the kind of pragmatism really that's necessary, you know, to be able to watch it on whatever really is the most appropriate for you, and folks will make that determination as they go along here, as it gets to be more available, maybe on a mobile device if that makes more sense to them, or on an iPad or on a laptop. I mean, it's beautiful that you offer and you're continuing to offer more and more types of availability. As far as testimonials go, I should let you know, Jim, I just got an email here at the studio from our FDH senior editor, Jason Jones. He says, I'm here listening to this interview. He says, I went to the Revision 3 website. He says, badass, everything should check this thing out. Everyone should check this thing out. The only thing I'm concerned about in this case with him doing that, Jim, is that Jason's wife, Samantha, who's also our entertainment editor, she has said in the past she's so enamored of online offerings. She's thinking about canceling cable TV in their home, and Jason's living in fear of that. I fear, Jim, you might be the tipping point. If she sees Revision 3, she might be canceling the cable, and, you know, Jason's going to be SOL for watching the sports on TV.
Well, here's the problem, okay? And so I'm a big sports fan, and it's getting better. Like, right now, the ones who really get it are baseball, MLB, but only out of market. So if you're an Indians fan and you go to the MLB package, you can't watch those games. But me, I'm in San Francisco and I'm a Mets fan. I now can watch live or on demand Mets games, every single game, on my big screen TV via Roku, which is a small box that hooks up to the internet and connects to your flat screen. I can watch it on my PC. I can watch it on my phone. You're starting to do a little bit of that with basketball and with NHL, although they're not there yet. Unfortunately, football is the big bugaboo. Those guys, that's going to be the hardest one to get because they've got that lock-in deal with DirecTV, and you know, and I'm going to end up having to pay for it. But we're getting to the point where you will be able to watch almost everything you want over the internet, and you won't need cable. But I still think we're 5 or 6 years away from that.
Yeah. The progression has been swift, but yeah, not to that point yet. But 5 to 6 years, that's actually comforting to think that it may come over that period of time. And of course, for anybody that's listening to us talking to you here, I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking about things beyond what you're doing with Revision 3. You obviously, through your own blog and through other means, are disseminating a lot about what's going on in the present scene here. I do want to mention, and I believe that our senior producer, Steve Cervillo, will be catching you there, VidCon, the upcoming YouTube conference in LA next week. You're going to be a prime speaker at that thing. Please tell us a little bit about what the listeners there can look forward to from your speech.
Well, yeah, so first of all, just so people know, VidCon is actually the first meeting of fans and some of the people on, some of the real characters and personalities on YouTube. I mean, YouTube's huge, and we're seeing these new stars develop on YouTube, and this is a place where a lot of them are coming to learn from each other, to meet their fans, to try and figure out what the future of video and TV is all about. And so I have the unenviable task of talking to these guys who actually happen to be the most innovative people out there and telling them about the future of television and video. So I got some ideas. I'm still kind of putting it together, but I'm really, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about here is this kind of on-demand, whatever the best screen available world is, being able to see it anywhere. That's the first step. And the next step is, you know, what does it look like 5 or 10 years from now when there, you know, when you can get anything you want through this pipe, it's wireless, it's available anywhere you go. Who knows, we may even have contact lenses that are little TV screens that will allow us to overlay video on top of the world as we walk around. Now that's going to be weird.
Oh, that is going to be, you know, and it's funny, too, because the times when we're talking TV and technology on this show, we've done so a bunch of times with our good buddy Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Will Be Televised, and we're always kind of talking about where things are going, where things are heading. And I remember that the last time we had him on, not too long ago, it was when the announcement came out about this Google TV venture. I got to believe something like that is going to be just really groundbreaking for what you're doing here, because once this thing is penetrating homes via the TV set, that just takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah, well, the thing about Google TV that's great and that I'm really looking forward to is, so right now, you go home, you want to watch TV, you're like, oh, what's on? You're sitting on the couch, get a beer, you know the game's not on. Like, what am I going to watch? And, you know, so you might look at the channel guide, you might flip through your favorite channels. You're constrained to just those things, but there is so much great content on the internet, our shows, other people's shows, other great stuff out there. But there's no easy way to find it and get it and put it in there. What Google TV offers us the ability to do, I hope, is to be able to sit down and be like, what do I want to watch? You know what? I want to watch hot girls playing pool, or I want to watch, you know, I want to know about that new cell phone that just came out, or I want to watch some travel show about traveling to Asia. You'll be able to now type it in. No one wants to type. You'll be able to talk into your phone and say that in your phone and have a Google TV interface pop up that pulls up search results of shows that you can watch right now about that topic. And the cool thing for us is, you know, we'll be in those search results, but also somebody might say, I want to watch a, you know, I want to see, tell me about that new cell phone. There might be a couple shows that pop up, but I'll be able to buy on the right-hand side, just like on Google now. I mean, I don't have any inside information. I'm just postulating what I think what they'll do. I'll be able to do buy-in so that somebody will be able to see it and click through and watch my stuff. It's really going to help me expose the broad group of people to our shows when there's zillions of things available.
Yeah, well, that's going to be very exciting once it hits that level of penetration in the next year or two, and as these TVs really start to get out there that are enabled for this, that'll probably be one of the most, you know, crucial coming together points of this technology that we've seen yet. But as far as where you're going here with Revision 3, with anything else that you're working on here, Jim, we always love to give our guests a chance to plug as much as we possibly can. So if there's anything that we haven't covered substantially yet here tonight, please be my guest. Get it out there.
Well, I think Revision 3 is a great plan. I mean, we're geared for mostly guys, which is awesome, so 18 to 34-year-old guys. One of our other cool new shows, we talked about our tech stuff and Dig Nation and some of the hot girls that we have who are geeks also, and it's Callie or Veronica. But you know, we've got a show that's kind of a little bit of a departure for us. It's a cooking show, but it's not kind of that frou-frou, like, you know, Food Network, watch somebody do something you'd never be able to do. So this Irish chef who is like 28 years old, and he shows you how to make the stuff you're already making, but do it better. So one of the episodes is how to make a perfect steak, or how to make garlic bread that's amazing, that's like takes you like seconds. It's really down to earth, and it's a great show for anybody who, you know, knows they want to cook a little bit but isn't really, you know, you're not doing gourmet stuff. Just make the food you're already doing taste so much better. It's called Food Mob, and you know, I encourage people to check that out as well. It's really fun.
You know, that is really something that's worth checking out here, something that puts a little bit different of a spin on it than what you'll find on the Food Network, no question about it. And, Jim, it's a tremendous product. It's a tremendous network that you've got here. And, you know, for those of us who are also doing Internet TV, it's a really aspirational thing to try to keep up with what you guys are doing and try to get to that level of quality. It's been a tremendous pleasure to have you on here tonight, Jim. I hope you won't be a stranger. I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Thank you very much, and I hope LeBron makes the right choice.
We hope so as well. I won't say we'll know in 4 hours because we won't, but it'll be on the clock at that point in time. By the way, I'm going to be posting odds at the FDHLounge.com tonight on LeBron and all the other top free agents. I'm posting it at 12:01, Jim, so we're staying on top of that story.
I'm betting on the Bulls myself, I'm sorry to say, but we'll see.
Well, the Bulls are 6-1 on my list of odds. The Cavs are 5-1. I pray that I'm right on that. So
yeah, I hope you are too, for your sake and most, you know, all your listeners there are fans.
Thank you very much. And Jim, I know that Steve is looking forward to catching you at the conference next week here. And again, just a pleasure to have you on. And I love to do it again here sometime.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it. Jim Louderback, everybody, the CEO of Revision 3. We've really been looking forward to having him on here, and now that really is interesting. Yeah, to get that email from Jason, I had talked to him about Revision 3 off air. I didn't know how much familiarity he and the missus had with it, and I was only half joking about that. Once the missus sees Revision 3 for the first time, that poor dude might be out a cable package, because you know, she's been this close to thinking they can subsist on internet entertainment alone. And if you're already on that borderline, Revision 3 will push you over the edge, because they got a ton of fun stuff on there. We can't possibly plug that thing enough.